All right, I want you to turn actually in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 7 as a way of introduction into what we're going to see today and kind of laying out for us the vision for our church in 2023. Obviously, this year we've been coming through the book of Exodus and looking at coming from captivity to Christ. And it's been a great study. I hope all have learned from it. I mean, that's the first time I've ever preached through the book of Exodus, and there's a lot of lessons for me that I know that I learned and enjoyed doing it. And this vision that we had this year is really more of an inward focus, going from captivity to Christ, really looking at ourselves and seeing the things that would have us in bondage, have us enslaved to sin and that sort of thing. And by the power of God and a relationship with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ is how we get out of that. But realizing that, again, we can be entangled. We still have this sinful nature, even as believers in Christ, that can draw us back into the things of the world, draw us back into the things of being entangled in the sin instead of walking in the liberty that we have in Christ. And so we really talked about, you know, again, having that relationship with the Lord through His Word to make sure that we have that liberty so that we can continue to do the things that God would have us to do. So again, really this last year has been an inward focus. But in 2023, the things that God has laid on my heart is to have an outward focus and looking at being able, how can we minister to others? And it really makes sense. As we looked at this year, coming from captivity to Christ and then developing and growing in our own relationship with the Lord, it's only natural that we should be able to look to others to be able to share that truth with them. And so that's why our vision this year, really just laying it out, is going to be motivated to minister. And it's interesting, I was thinking this morning, just kind of reviewing this message this morning, and just thinking about the time that we've been going. It's been 7 years. It will be 7 years, January 1st, that Faith Bible Church has been in existence. And seven is an interesting number in the Bible, as most of you know. It's a number of perfection or completeness. And I think that God has brought us these 7 years to get us complete, to be perfected, to be ready to minister the truth of the Word of God to others in 2023, going into our eighth year of existence. And so what I want you to do, I want you to really look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1 and read down through verse 7, just really kind of give an understanding of really laying out what the culture is, kind of where we're at in history before the Lord's going to be coming back and what the Lord would have us to do. And again, tying it up in this vision that we're going to see for 2023 and being motivated for ministry. And so I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says this: "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, led captive, silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And it's like, when you read these first seven verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it really is perilous times. It's dire. This does not look good. And it doesn't take long for any of us to just see what's going on in the world, in the community, turn on the TV, look at the news. We're definitely in perilous times. We definitely see where people are lovers of their own selves. And that's really interesting, because you look at this again in verse 2, the very first thing it says, and talking about the perilous times that we are in these last days, and the first thing it says is, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." And it goes on through the rest of this list of things that it's talked about, but that's the first thing that's mentioned. That's interesting, because it's really a self-focus. It's what I can do to please myself. It's not about looking at how I can help somebody else out. But our vision for 2023 is exactly that. How can we minister to other people? Not just looking and being focused on our own needs and what we need to do, but how can I share truth with others? And for that, I want you to turn back to our scripture reading that we had, and really, we're going to be looking at just two verses out of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. When I think about ministry, and you guys know me, you've heard me preach, you've been around me, you know that it really is kind of my driving force, and in the sense of just thinking that God has created all of us in Christ with a purpose. We're not saved to sit. We're not saved just to come to church and listen to the message, just call ourselves Christians and be done, and that's it. No, God has a purpose and a direction for each and every one of us. He has a plan for each and every one of us. He wants us to be able to minister or serve Him by, again, sharing the truth and sharing a relationship with the Lord and all, what that's all about. Now, again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I want you to look at verses 15 and 16, kind of give a little bit of what we're going to be looking at, have a word of prayer, we're going to get into this. In 1 Corinthians 16, and verse 15, it says this, Paul talking to the Corinthians, and is there ever a group of people that needed to understand this, it is this group of people. All right, they are the carnal Corinthians. They were walking in the flesh instead of walking in the Spirit. And he tells them as he comes to the end of this book, in verse 15, it says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. In other words, they were the first ones to come to Christ in that area of Achaia. And he says, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. We're going to look at really 2 points today out of these verses. Verse 15, devotion, and then verse 16, submission. Then obviously in your outline I have a third point in dealing with action as far as what the details of what we're going to be looking at in 2023. But let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started on what we need to see here. A lot of things that we need to understand. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the day. I thank you for, again, all the things that you have shown us in 2022 and coming through our study in the book of Exodus. In a vision that you laid on my heart to be able to share and be able to go through this year and dealing with from captivity to Christ. Lord, the stage is set. Lord, you prepared us. Not just in this last year, but really in this last 7 years. For the vision and direction that you have for us for 2023. To be able to take the things that we've learned, to take our relationship with you, and to be able to share it with others, to be able to minister to others. Lord, help us to understand what that is all about today, out of these two verses. Lord, open up our hearts, our minds, open up our understanding. Help us to see really your burden, your heart that you have for us as a church, collectively, individually, as we get ready to see the end of 2022 and going into 2023. Lord, let it not just be something that is just of me, of my opinion, or anything like that, of the flesh. Lord, use me, the things that you laid in my heart, Lord. Again, we want to hear from you. I need to hear from you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You look again at verse 15. He says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanus, that they are the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves in the ministry of the saints. The thing that I want to point out to you, and some of you already have seen this, you've heard me talk about it before, but this is the only time in all the Word of God the word addicted is ever used. This is it, right here. And we understand what that word is, especially living in the times that we live in. I mean, we think about people being addicted. What do we think about? People mainly addicted to drugs or addicted to alcohol. Something that you're addicted, you're wholly given over to that. And so we understand that. We see that people get to the place where their lives are ruined because of addiction. I mean, they ruin even the lives of families around them because of addiction. They get to the place to where they cannot even begin to try to function or do anything unless they have whatever they are addicted to. And it's interesting. It's kind of weird for me today because I'm really going to talk to you about how you need to have to be addicted to ministry. A good addiction. The only time the word's ever used in all of Scripture, and it's used in a context of ministering or serving others. And so, but by giving you an understanding of that, it's like, let's look a little bit about how people do this and getting addicted. And just, you know, again, my job as a law enforcement officer, I run into this, I see it all the time. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've dealt with drug cases and things like that. Stuff can be nasty. For sure, and see the ruin of people's lives that get addicted to things. But you have people that are really stage one that just maybe experiment and try some drug or whatever. And they can walk away from it. It's not from them. It's no big deal. You know, maybe a little risky behavior in trying it, but hey, it's no real big deal. It's not their thing. They walk away from it. To me, that's like, for me, gambling. Again, if you can look at gambling as an entertainment, obviously I work at a casino in law enforcement there, and it's like, it's just entertainment. That's fine if you can look at it that way, but then there's people that get addicted to it. For me, I've gambled a couple of times, got a couple of slot machines. It's not my thing. It's not. There's no danger for me getting addicted to gambling. It's just not my thing. Walk away from it. No big deal. But then there's people that get to stage two to where it's a regular use. They're abusing it, whatever it is. You can talk about gambling. We can talk about sex. We can talk about, again, alcohol. We can talk about drugs, whatever. That they get addicted to it, and it's more than that. It's something that they use on a regular basis Because whether it relaxes them, it helps them to get through the day, whatever the case is, they physically start getting to where they need to have that. But then there's stage three. Stage three is when they are addicted. It's beyond abuse. Really, they talk about they feel like they have to have it, and just spiritually or mentally, emotionally, or I would say dealing with their heart. And then, of course, physically, they have to have it. And they develop a tolerance to it that whatever amount that they are using is not enough, and they got to increase it. They got to have more, and they got to use it to be able to try to even begin to function. They can't function without having that. They're dependent on it, spirit, soul, and body. They have to have that. And if they don't have that, they go through withdrawal. And the withdrawal can be a very dangerous situation. I mean, and so they have really completely, wholly given over to what they're addicted to, and they cannot function or even begin to function without it. They have to have it. Now, when we think about this in ministry, that's what it should be like for the Christian. It's not just a casual use. Oh, maybe I will minister sometimes if it's convenient or whatever. No, it's a lifestyle that we should have. We should, as Christians, be addicted to ministry. That if we are not ministering, if we're not serving others, if we're not trying to seek open doors to be able to share the truth, then we should start going through withdrawal. Kind of shaky. It's like, I don't feel right. It's in a place where, in a sense of where, you know what? Just, you know, sharing the Word of God with somebody, let's say, once or twice on occasion, it's not enough. I need to have more of that. Now, I want to try to give you a little bit of experience. I really want to try to, again, with this message and what we are focused on this year, talking about motivated for ministry, that's what I want to try to do today. And that's what really I've been trying to lead up to coming through this year in the book of Exodus, is getting you a place from captivity to be able to have a relationship with Christ, to serve, to minister for Him. Allow Him to minister through you to reach other people. For me personally, there's nothing, no greater high than when I have the opportunity to share truth with others, especially with people who want to hear the truth and see them get a hold of it. That is my high. I like that. And I can't get enough of it. We, as believers in Christ, should be addicted to ministry. Well, how do we get to that place? We got to start using. Sounds crazy. But we got to start using. We got to start taking of the things of our relationship with the Lord and continue to use it, to grow in it. Here's what I want you to do. I actually want you to turn over to 1 Timothy in chapter 1. How do we get to the place of being addicted to ministry? First step is being enabled for ministry. Being equipped to be able to serve. And I want you to notice what Paul says. Now, we look at this passage already this year and coming through the book of Exodus, so it's not nothing new here, but we're going to look at it in context of being addicted to ministry. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, I want you to pick it up in verse 12. Paul wasn't always Paul. He was Saul. He was the one that persecuted those who were following Christ, the Jews that were following Christ, Peter, James, and John, and so forth, as they were coming through. He was one that of the Pharisees that was persecuting the Jews that believed in Christ. But notice what he says here, starting in verse 12. We're going to read down through verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Paul says this, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before a blasphemer?" That word blaspheme means to speak evil against God and His Word. That was Saul. That was Paul. He says, "And a persecutor, and injurious." Injurious is literally to cause injury. "But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is the faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." When he's writing this, he's saying this in present time. Now, he's a believer in Christ. Obviously, he's accepted Christ, but he still considers himself chief of sinners. In verse 16, it says, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Remember, this is the same guy that when Stephen was being stoned to death for his stance and trusting and believing in Christ to the Jews, Saul was there taking care of the coats or the clothing of those who killed Stephen. That would be, in today's law, he would be a co-conspirator in that. In other places in the book of Galatians, Paul talks about how he wasted the church. And the reason why I bring this up in his testimony is because, again, I've already said it this year, but I'm going to say it again. A lot of times, Christians, we use the excuse that my past, my life is so bad, there's no way that God can use me. When you like to use that, there's no way that you don't understand, Pastor, what I've done in the past. No, maybe I don't. But I understand my past. I understand my struggles. And if God can choose to use me, I know He can do the same thing with you. And the reason why I know that is because He did the same thing with Paul. I mean, Paul was a bad guy. A really, really bad guy. So bad that when he came to Christ, there are those that didn't trust him because of his past. But go back to verse 12 here in this passage, and what does it say there? It says, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me." Who did the enabling? Paul didn't enable himself. The Lord enabled him. The Lord equipped him. It says, "For that he counted me faithful." Which is interesting. He doesn't say that, "and I was faithful." The Lord enabled me, and I was faithful. Now, we're supposed to be faithful. We should be striving to do that. But notice he says there that God counted him faithful. God enabled him, and God counted him faithful to the things that he was showing him. And that's what was the end result. Putting me into the ministry. In other words, God did everything that what Paul was talking about. God enabled him. God counted him faithful. God put him in ministry. And that same pattern is the same thing that God wants to do with each and every one of us. You see, it doesn't depend on your intellect to be in ministry. It doesn't depend on what you think you know or don't know to be in ministry. It doesn't depend on whether you had some pristine past, because none of us really did. Right? It doesn't depend on any of those things. All God wants us is to allow Him to enable us. To allow Him, hey, to count us faithful to the things that He shows us and allow Him to put us in ministry. Matter if we're willing. If we're willing to allow that process to happen. I want to show you something else. I want you to go back to the book of Colossians. Go back a few pages to Colossians chapter 4. And what I am showing you, the references even that I'm using today, is nothing new. You can go back and look at other messages that I've preached, and probably have some of them in this last year. Alright? You're here on Wednesday, things that I talked about. I mean, all of what I'm talking about today is absolutely nothing new. I am not preaching anything new today. There's nothing. It's things I've already talked about, but it's being put in such a way to prepare us to do what God would have us to do in 2023. Because you know what? There are people that are in our city, that are in our area, Southeast Kansas, that they need to understand the truth, and they need us to minister to them so they can get that truth. But we got to be willing. We have to be willing. We need to be enabled for ministry, and we also need to take heed to it. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17, near the end of this chapter in this book. This is something, again, these church letters that Paul writes would be written to these churches, so they would be read aloud as they would gather for church service. And you can imagine this, whether Archippus was in this service or not, this is something that everybody in the church knew about. Because Paul wrote it in a letter to be read aloud. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17, coming down to the very end of this book, this letter, Paul says this in verse 17, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Now again, I don't know if Archippus was in the congregation when this was being read at the time or not. Whether he was or whether he wasn't, this is something that was a command that Paul wanted to make known to Archippus. Archippus, he had a ministry, but he wasn't taking heed to the ministry. He had a ministry. That means he was enabled for ministry. He was equipped to do that. He had it, but he wasn't doing anything with it. And Paul said he needs to take heed to it, to fulfill it, to complete it. Do what God has created you to do. And as I said just a few minutes ago, it's like every one of us, God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. He wants us to minister. He's given us a ministry. Maybe that ministry is simply just being in a home, being the husband and the father that you need to be, the mother, the wife you need to be. Right? Even as kids, their ministry is, hey, I need to obey, I need to learn, I need to grow. That's something that is my ministry at this point in time. Maybe it's your workplace, wherever that you are working, that is a field of ministry. For me, that's where I look at my job. My job is great to be able to provide for my family, but it is a ministry opportunity. Alright? Do my job, do my work, but also being there to be able to minister, to be able to share the truth. People have issues, have problems, whatever the case is. I hope they see they can come to me and I'll be there to give them biblical truth on how to deal with the situation. It's a ministry field. It's a ministry opportunity. Community. Maybe you're volunteering or something like that in your community. Opportunity to meet people. It's a ministry opportunity. God has given us and placed us, everyone, things in our lives, people in our lives, to be able to do what? Share truth. He wants us to enable us for ministry, but we need to take heed to it. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? Think about it. Your family? Are you just there existing? This is what we do. You know, you grow up, you know, have a family, so forth, but you're not really doing anything with it. Your job is there. Well, yeah. I mean, your job is, your primary is to do your job. But that's not the only thing. There's people in your lives in your job. Are you taking heed to looking for those open doors? School. Maybe you're still in school. Ministry opportunity. When I got saved, I was in college. I was after my freshman year at UMKC, University of Missouri, Kansas City, go Roos. But when I got saved, it was a natural ministry opportunity for the people that were around me. Ministry. Not there just to get an education. As a believer, there to be able to reach people, to take heed to that ministry, to fulfill it. Give you another example before we move on. Let's go back to 2 Timothy, but this time in chapter 4. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. This is how we get in this process of being addicted to ministry. We allow God to enable us. Then we need to take heed to the ministry to fulfill it, like Archippus was told. And then notice what Paul says. These are the last words of Paul. You know that. We've talked about it. We've been through this in 2 Timothy. The last thing he's going to be saying to his son Timothy in the faith. And he says this. And we're going to look at verse 5, but understand the context is in understanding that our final accountability before the Lord. Verse 1 talks about that, you know, as far as the praying of the Lord Jesus and His coming, and that deals with our accountability, standing before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. He also talks about, again, He's supposed to preach the Word. Be you know, instant in season, out of season, all right? Ready to share the truth, all right? Lays that out in verse 2. Verses 3 and 4 gives you the context of when that's happening, is that there's people that don't want to hear the truth. They want to turn away their ears from the truth. Guess what? Hey, that's today, right? How many people do not want to hear the truth? They don't. They really have some fable, some fairy tale, stuff like that. I've talked before about how you can really look at a comparison physically with what's going on spiritually. What I mean by that, there's people that they only want, they either to shut their ears off to what's going on in the world, they don't want to hear any news, it's like, I don't want to hear it because it's too bad, or they only want to listen to what suits their opinion as opposed to actually looking for the facts that are going on. They turn away their ears from the truth because it doesn't match their whatever, their opinion or their philosophy. I went, no, I don't want to hear that, because that messes with my lifestyle, or I don't believe that, or whatever. They turn away their ears from the truth. Well, in Christianity, unfortunately, that's the same way. People don't want to hear the truth of what the Word of God actually says. Just give me a nice little story. Give me a nice little devotion. Something to scratch my ear. Something to kind of make me feel good. It's like, no, we want the truth. But in the context of all that, Paul tells Timothy this in verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, because the reality is if you're living your life for the Lord and sharing that truth with others, you're going to go through some afflictions. You're going to go through some hard times. Satan is going to make sure of that. This world is going to make sure of that. But he says, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. It's personal. Thy ministry. What God has given you, make full proof of it. Folks, if you allow God to enable you for ministry, you start taking heed to that ministry to fulfill it, And again, as we see here, what Paul tells Timothy to make full proof of that ministry, that you're going to use it to every last bit to be able to bring glory to God. I guarantee you that you'll come to a place like the house of Stephanus and how they were addicted to ministry. Their whole life was about ministry. Somebody who is a drug addict, I mean, that they are addicted, they get to the place that their whole life and everything they do is about getting that drug. They get into different areas of crime so they can get some money to do what? To get that drug or to get more alcohol. Their whole life is based on how they can feed their addiction. And as bad as that sounds, because it is bad, ministry-wise, it should be the same for us. Are you looking for your next fix spiritually? Are you looking for the next opportunity that hopefully that you're able to share the truth of the Word of God? Or are you just kind of a casual Christian that, yeah, I kind of dabble a little bit in ministry. I dabble a little bit in reading the Word. I dabble a little bit in praying. I dabble a little bit in trying to share Christ with somebody. But you know what? It's just not my thing. Or are you looking for your next fix? Your life is like, I can't function like I need to function unless I am actively trying to share the Word of God. It's a crazy kind of correlation or an example. But it is not by accident that this is the only place in Scripture that God uses that word addicted, and it's in a context of ministry. Are you addicted to ministry? Are you motivated to be able to minister? All the truth, the things that God has shown you, are you ready? Are you willing to try to share that with others? That's all God is asking. And just be willing to do it. And a problem with Christianity today, the people are not willing. They're glad that they're saved, but they're not focused on other people that need that truth. You're glad that maybe you have some good, maybe even a good grounding and foundation in the basis of Christianity, but you're not focused on trying to share that with others. Really, that's the same thing. It's like you're being a lover of yourself, but you're not looking out for the needs of somebody else. All God is asking is just to be willing. Just to be willing. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 15, we point of being devoted, devotion. Verse 16, submission. Again, I'll read from verse 15. It says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Notice, this is what they did. They actively sought out to be addicted to ministry. Again, it says that they have addicted themselves. Nobody did it to them. They sought that out. Again, they had a willing heart. They wanted to do that. And let me just say this, folks. It's like, again, my goal, my job is to motivate you to do the right thing, to set that example, to do it, and so you can see it in my life the best you can, best possible. And I want to do everything I can to motivate you to help, you know, that God can somehow through me help enable you to take heed, to make foolproof, and so forth of all that. I want to do that, but there's one thing I cannot do. I can't give you that heart desire and that willingness to want to do it. I can give you an example. Again, try to live it in front of you. Teach it and show you in the Word of God. But you have to make that decision. Just like the house of Stephanus, they addicted themselves to ministry. They made that decision. They wanted to do that. Nobody can make you do it. Even God Himself. I mean, He can encourage you and do a lot of things, but you still have to make that decision that, you know what, I want to do this. I want to do this. Nobody, God just doesn't make you saved. He doesn't come down and zap you. Well, you're lost. Not anymore. You're saved. It doesn't work that way. He'll give you every opportunity and give you the truth and so forth, but you have to make that heart decision that, yes, I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And it's the same thing in dealing with you want to minister that truth to others. You have to come to a place, you know what? I want to do this. I want to get myself addicted to ministry. I want to serve the Lord by serving others and showing them how to have a relationship with Christ and to grow in that. You have to choose to want to do that. I can yell and scream and genuflect and do all kinds of things up here, but I can't get into your heart and make you make that decision. You have to do it yourself. You have to want to do it. My job is to kind of be a ministry dealer. Like a drug dealer? I'm a ministry dealer. Hey, come over here. Why don't you try this? I got a little bit of Romans 10:9. Just take some little bit of Romans 10:9. Thou shalt believe in thy heart that God has risen from the dead and confess with thy mouth, thou shalt be saved. Just, I'm going to give you a little bit. Just try it. Give it a little bit. Just give, I'm going to give you some Romans 10:9. Today, you know what I'm doing? Oh, you got Romans 10:9 down? You're saved? I want to give you a little bit of 1 Corinthians 15:16. Yeah, I want to give you that. I want to get you more into ministry. You know, when I started working at the casino, I was surprised at how many people are doing... I mean, I know people are doing meth. I mean, but you kind of have in your mindset of a certain kind of people that do that drug. Working at a casino, guess what? And all the different meth cases that I've had and the ones that we have, people dropping on the floor on a somewhat regular basis and that, I was shocked to see the different lifestyle or people that are on meth. People that you would think that, I'm like, what's a 60-some-year-old person doing meth? You're too old for that. So you don't tell them. You think it's mainly young people. No. I've seen all ages. And it's very highly addictive. Meth is. Even more than crack cocaine. Instead of being addicted to meth, we need to get people addicted to what? Ministry. To ministry. And people get addicted by hanging around the people that do that or able to get that supply. What does God tell the Corinthians spiritually? Again, from verse 15 into 16, it says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Corinthians, you want to get addicted to ministry, then you need to submit yourself. You need to hang around people that are addicted to ministry. You need to hang around people that have the supply. I mean, that's what people that are on drugs or whatever, I mean, they have their dealer, they have their supply line. And generally speaking, they hang around people, other people that do the same thing. Well, spiritually, it should be the same for us, Christians. That's why fellowship is important. The time that we spend together, why? So that we can help one another. Paul says, Corinthians, you got a problem here. You're not addicted to ministry. You're carnal. You're still walking in the flesh instead of walking in the spirit. Here's what you need to do. You need to go over to the house of Stephanas. You need to go to the quote-unquote ministry drug house. Stephanas, man, you got to, I mean, go there. What do you think? If unfortunately you're living in a neighborhood and there's a house and you see cars, all different kind of cars, coming and going at all times of the day and the night, what do you naturally think that's going on there? You know it. There's no drugs out of that. Anybody with any kind of street, I would say common sense or whatever, you start having a house, you have all these different cars all over the place, night and day, coming and going and stuff like that. What do you think? Yeah, they're selling drugs there. Paul says, you need to get to the house of Stephanas. There's people going and coming and everything like that because they're addicted to ministry. And you know what? You need that same addiction. That's what you need to be addicted to. And so he tells them to submit. You need to go there, verse 16 again, that you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I mean, there's people that are helping and laboring and ministering with Paul. Paul's not doing this thing by himself. He has others helping him. And Stephanas, that house, man, they're a big part of that. Corinthians, you need to get yourself over there. As a pastor, Faith Bible Church, I'm saying, you need to get yourself over here. Spend time with us. In the Word. without being enabled, take heed to fulfill. So you get addicted to ministry that you want to serve the Lord. I want to show you a couple of things. You're in 1 Corinthians. I want you to go back to chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And just in verse 1. You see, Paul tells the Corinthians earlier who they need to be following. And it's really no different for us today. We need to be following the truth that's given to us, and it's through the Apostle Paul. Paul says this. Again, he's not asking people to follow him for the sake of following him. No, it's as he follows Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." He's setting the example. He's not asking the Corinthians, again, just to follow him. No, follow him as he's following Christ. You shouldn't follow anybody that's not following Christ. And how do you know that they're following Christ? Well, they're doing the things that is laid out in the Word of God. You examine their lives by that of what the Word of God says. Alright, if they're not following the truth of the Word of God, then don't be following them. And unfortunately, there's too many Christians that are following leaders, quote unquote, that are not following the truth of the Word of God. Well, that's not going to help you. That's not going to help you at all. It's going to be a negative aspect of it. The people that we need to submit to are those who are following the truth. I want you to go over to Philippians real quick. From 1 Corinthians, continue to the right, all the way to Philippians. I want you to look at Philippians chapter 3. Again, nothing new here. Nothing new. We've seen these verses before. But we're putting it together in the focus that the Lord is laying on our heart, on my heart, for 2023, for our church. Motivated to minister. Making sure that we submit ourselves and that we're hanging around people that have that same mindset. Want to minister. In Philippians chapter 3, just down in verse 17. And Philippians, man, they're a great church. They're doing a lot of good things. But notice what Paul says to them. In verse 17, it says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." Again, dealing with their life. That Paul, again, is following the truth of the Word of God, the doctrine laid out, given to him by Christ. And he's telling the Philippians, hey, you need to follow us that have that same walk, that same example. You look down in chapter 4 and verse 9. Again, we've seen this a number of times. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Paul says this, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." I mean, some bold statements that Paul is laying out here, but this is the Word of God. This is God-inspired. And Paul is saying, all those things that you've learned of me, the truth, the doctrine, the Word of God, I want you to do the same things. It's no different than Paul telling the Corinthians, hey, get to the house of Stephanus, submit to them, because they're doing the right thing. They've addicted themselves to the ministry of the service to others. You need to do the same things, Corinthians. I'll give you one more passage with this. I want you to go back to 2 Timothy again, this time chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to pick it up in verse 20. Again, this is the passage of Scripture that we've seen on a couple of occasions coming through Exodus and talking about the tabernacle and the different vessels that were used to serve God in the tabernacle. We use the same passage and talking about how we need to be these vessels of honor. But I want to show you something else in connection to what we're seeing today from this passage. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to pick it up in verse 20 and read down through verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 20. It says, "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel in honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Let's have a summation of verse 21. It's talking about what? Ministry. Alright? You're sanctified and meet or fit for the master's use and prepared to every good work. You're ready to minister. And to do that, you need to purge yourself from those who are not focused on doing that. The vessels of dishonor. Why have fellowship with a vessel of dishonor? Because all you're going to do is learn their ways. And that's not a good thing. Again, it's like the addict that they're hanging around the drug dealers. They're hanging around people that are addicted. They're just going to continue to have fellowship with that and learn their ways, and it's not going to be good. But what we need to do is the opposite. Purge ourselves from that, but hang around the vessels of honor. Those who are striving to do the right thing, that they are sanctified, they're neat, or they're fit for the master's use, they're prepared for every good work. Those are the kind of people that we need to hang around so that we develop those habits. And you see that as you continue on, verse 22 here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace." Those are eternal things, the spiritual things. But notice it says that with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You're hanging around people that are doing the right thing. That's how you're going to get addicted to the ministry. I know it and I hear it all the time. Heard it recently. Where we talk about, well, I don't need the church, I don't need to go somewhere to be able to worship God. Well, yeah, that's true. You can worship God anywhere. Alright? There's no problem with that. I'm driving to work. Right? I can be meditating on this week's message. I can be meditating on the things that the Lord showed me personally in my own reading. I can be singing praises to Him. I'm not obviously at this location. I'm in my car driving to work. I can worship God and everything while I'm at work. Right? Have some time. I can walk around and I can pray and sing praises and meditate and reflect on the Word of God. No, I don't need this church building to do that. And people like to use that excuse, but a lot of times the people use that, they're the ones that, you know what? They're really not even serving God or worshiping God at home. This is a nice excuse. Well, I don't need to go to church. Yeah. Yeah, you don't need to go to church to worship God. But why does God devote so much time and so many books that are to churches, local churches, and dealing with having them get together in real fellowship, spending time with each other in the Word of God? You know why it's important? Because it helps you. It strengthens you. It enables you to be able to, you have that support, you have people to lean on. That's the way a church should be, a local church, and to be able to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord so that you are strengthened, you're equipped, so that when you are not here, when you are at home, when you are on the job, when you are in the community, that you have what you need to be able to share the truth with others. I know we live in a day and age to where we have gotten away from being at church. I remember a church that I got trained in and went to their pastor school, got ordained. Man, there was a time that we were at church, seemed like it was almost every day. You had church Sunday, you had your Sunday school, or your, we call them ministry fellowship time. That's where, well, it was a big church. You know, but that was where you could really connect with a lot of people. You know, that's really where you did ministry, was in those ministry fellowships. But then we had a church service, and it was morning time, and we come back in the evening time as well. We had evening service where our pastor laid out. I mean, I'm telling you, so you talk about me preaching long. I mean, Sunday evenings were at least an hour and a half. Our pastor going through and just laying out some incredible things in the Word of God. Monday was sports ministry. Usually, I mean, it rotates throughout the year. Volleyball, love me some volleyball. That's like my favorite sport is volleyball. But then there was softball, and we just rotate through. But we use that as an opportunity to get people to check out our church and people have some fun playing. We have a devotion at it. So usually there was that, or actually it was Monday night Bible study. I mean, there was several times during the week that we're at church. I mean, if you wanted to be, you could be there every day. That was something going on. That was in the 1990s. Here we are, 2022. People barely come to church. I understand this. People, you physically can't go. I understand that. That's why I thank God for our technology that you can look from home, online, things like that. I get that. But nothing can replace that face-to-face fellowship time with somebody. Alright? It can be to where I can call somebody, you know, and it's like, hey, how you doing? And they can, you know, in reality, they can be like not really doing well, but say, oh yeah, I'm doing fine, everything's good. But if I'm face to face and I ask you how you doing, oh yeah, I'm doing fine, but your body language is saying something totally different. Hey, what's going on? Talk to me. You know, feel like talking to me right now? I'll pray for you. I'm here for you. It's not something about that. You need that strengthening time. As we look in going into 2023, how do we actually flesh out or make reality being addicted to ministry or really motivated for ministry is what the vision statement is. What's it going to take? Here's what I'm going to tell you what I am going to do. Starting in January, I'm going to preach through 1 Timothy. That's the book we're going to go through in 2023. Probably 2-3 verses at a time per week, that sort of thing. And this is something that I've been studying all this last year. It really wasn't my original intent in going through 1 Timothy. I never preached through 1 Timothy, strange enough. I never have. But in going through it, and what I've done is like, in 2022, one of the things I did was study one verse a day out of 1 Timothy. And going through it, that's how I first went through 1 Timothy this year. And then I started reading it a chapter a week, that sort of thing. I'm still going through 1 Timothy, and I read a chapter a day. All right? 6 chapters, 6 days I read, I rest on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath day, on Saturday I don't read it. So I still got a couple more weeks that I'm reading through 1 Timothy to prepare, to understand what God would have us to learn in this book in 2023. So that's what I'm going to do. Study out, continue, and then preach through 1 Timothy. What I'm also going to do is the first Sunday of the month, instead of having our question and answer Bible study, I'm going to teach in some aspect of what it is to be able to minister. We'll start out dealing with how to study the Word of God, how to prepare, how to study. We'll talk about salvation, Romans Road. These are things that we've done in some aspect in the past. But how do I share the gospel with somebody? We'll talk about that. Discipleship. All right, what is that all about, and how to really invest the truth of the Word of God into somebody else? Something that we have a ministry here, one-on-one, to give you the solid foundation of discipleship. That offer is always open to all. We've got people here that are willing to take you through discipleship one-on-one, just to be able to get you grounded in the Word of God, to enable you, to equip you. All right, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about counseling and dealing with various situations. Again, these are things that we've talked about in some aspect and some different visions and things that we've had through these last 6 years. We're going to review that. We're going to talk about how to develop relationships. That's one thing that there seems like there's an issue that we, our technology, as great as it can be, also separates us out. So if people don't want to come to church anymore, I can just look online. Again, you've already heard me explain, I'm not dogging that. I appreciate them. I'm glad people are able to do that, especially if they can't physically get here and that sort of thing. But we're living in a day and age to where people don't know how to talk to each other. You know, we talk to people in emojis. Half English, whatever. We've lost how to have a good conversation with people. How to talk to people, how to get to know them, to listen to what's going on in their life. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about just good listening skills. Being able just to listen to people. Seeing what's going on. Not always running our mouth. But listening to them. Seeing where people are at. That's what I'm going to do. Just teach and give my life experience and the Word of God, obviously, that how to deal with those things. But I'm going to ask you to do some things in this next year. And I don't think they're complicated. I really don't. I started helping you to understand what it is to minister. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to have a reading plan. I don't care what that is, but I would like it to be something that puts you in the Word of God on a daily basis. I don't care how much or whatever. I'm asking you to turn that in to me so I know what you're doing or anything like that. I'm not going to sit there and call you, have you done your Bible reading today? That's not me. That's not how I operate. But I'm going to ask you to have a reading plan. Do what I do. I pray to God. God, direct me where I need to be in the Word of God. That's what I do for our church. That's what I do for me personally. For me, yeah, I usually do this every other year. So in 2023, it'll be my year that I'm going to read through the Bible. I'll read through the whole Bible. And I have a simple plan for me that I do it. When I'm in the Old Testament, I'll read 4 chapters a day. When I get to the New Testament, I'll read 2 chapters a day. And that has way more than enough time to get through the whole Bible before the end of the year, going from Genesis all the way to Revelation. right? And it's like, if you want to adopt a plan like that, hey, go for it, all right? You can read a couple of chapters in the morning, a couple of chapters in the afternoon, or whatever, that sort of thing. Break it down, that sort of thing, all right? Whatever. Maybe you have a plan that, like I did this year. My reading plan this year was 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus, and now I'm in Proverbs just to finish out the year, but I did one verse a day. I read one verse, I studied that verse. I wanted to walk away, the Lord show me what I need to see out of this one verse. That was my reading plan. One verse? Surely that's not enough, Pastor. One verse a day. Can you not give enough time to God to read one verse prayerfully and to walk away and, Lord, what, you know, show me something out of this verse or remind me something out of this verse? I'm going to pray about this verse. I don't care what your reading plan is, but I want you to have one. The second thing I would ask you to do is keep a ministry journal. Whether you physically want to write that out in paper, for me, I already have it set up for my phone because I use my phone a lot for my ministry notes and things like that. I already have it set up. I already have one entry in it already. And I'm not asking you to have a journal that you have to put something in there every day. If you have something every day, hey, praise God. But I'm just talking once a week. At a minimum, 52 entries. Of either a time you're able to minister to somebody. Hey, a friend of mine, he had a flat tire. I went over there to help him out. And while I was helping, I said, hey, I'm praying for you. I know it's a struggle. And I was able to share a word of God with him. Just something simple. It doesn't have to be a book. All right? At least one time a week. Either an opportunity that you've had to minister to somebody, or if you haven't had, a week goes by, it's not, it happens, if you don't have a time to minister to anybody, the opportunity doesn't present themselves, but at least one week is like, write something what you have learned about ministry. Or maybe something that you desire to do, or there was Susie at work that I was thinking about trying to minister to, but just the opportunity didn't present itself, so I just prayed for her, whatever. Now here's how I'm going to keep you accountable to that. This goes back to me. So those are two things I'm asking you to do for 2023. Have a reading plan and have like a journal for opportunity to minister at least once a week that you have an interest. But I know it's as humans. It's about accountability. And accountability, a lot of that is going to be Wednesday. Now you've heard me through the years talking about encouraging people to come on Wednesday. Alright? An hour and a half. All right, we meet at 6:30 to 8 o'clock because I got to get out of here to go to work. All right, and there's times that we're even done even before 8 o'clock. But that's the opportunity to have you accountable for that, to where on the first and the fourth Wednesdays, it'll simply be a simple devotion. I'm not asking for 3 points in the poem. I'm not asking that you've got to be, you know, don't think that you have to be what I do on Sunday morning. Just being able to share something that the Lord has shown you from your personal reading. We'll do that the first Wednesday of the month and the fourth Wednesday of the month. Your accountability and your reading plan. Now the second Wednesday will be focused on prayer, but praying for, again, somebody maybe that you want to minister to. Want to be able to share truth with. Alright? Maybe somebody at work, maybe somebody in your family, somebody in the community, whatever, that you're praying for this, and you're going to share that, and we'll spend the night praying. And again, we can pray for other things that are going on in our lives. I mean, the night's pretty much dedicated to prayer. On the third Wednesday, it would be the accountability as far as your journal is concerned. Share a ministry opportunity that you've had in this last month. Or again, something that you have learned about ministry to people in this last month. Like I said, maybe you got you can have an entry every day. Hey, praise God. Once a week is all I'm asking. To keep you accountable. Because here's the thing. If there's no accountability, we don't do it. That's human nature. I gave you an example before. I had a sociology class. Statistics. I call it statistics. I'm not a math guy. Grammar and English, yes. All day long. Math, no. I don't like it. But our professor, after I spent $1 billion as a college student, on this book, he said, we're not going to go through this book. And I'm like, I wasted money. Now, I want you to read in that book, but we're really not going to talk about it. That's what I didn't do. I didn't read the book. Well, they're not going to grade us over or anything like that. Why read it? Well, I should have read it because it did give me some good information. It would have probably helped me out with my grades. But that's human nature. We're not held accountable. We don't do it. All right? So that's my accountability. It's like having that once a month time for us, that journal. Hey, what's something that you've learned? You'd be able to share it. You don't have to come up here to the pulpit. You can sit right there in a pew and share what you have. If you're afraid of being in front of people, I'm not going to make you get up here. All right? I'm not going to strong arm you. Get up here. You must give your devotion up here or it doesn't count. That's not me. You guys know me. I want to make it as easy as possible for you to get addicted to ministry. Give it a try. Trust God that He can use you. All right? I'm not looking for you to be some polished professional speaker. No. What has God... Because you know what? I learn from you guys. Have any in doubt of that? All right? Ask Pam. Ask Kurt. Ask Dave. All right? I mean, I learn from you guys. I learn. It's not just a one-way street. I learn from you. Help edify one another. That's 2023. Now, as I finish up here, I don't know how long we have left. The world's crazy. I don't know how long we have left. Man, the Lord came back before I was done saying amen to this message. That wouldn't surprise me in the least bit. How long do we have left? What if somebody, what if your doctor said, you know what? I got some news for you. It's not good news. You only have 6 months to a year to live. If you knew you only had 6 months to a year to live, what would you do at that time? Maybe you got that bucket list? I don't know. What would you do with it? That would put things in a different light, wouldn't it? If all of a sudden you knew you only had 6 months to a year to live, it might make things a little bit more serious about what you do and the decisions you make. What if I tell you, I mean, again, nobody knows the day of the hour or anything like that, but what if we only had 6 months in 2023 and the Lord comes back? Again, tomorrow's not promised. I mean, we can die. But let's just say we had 6 months to a year, the Lord will be coming back. What if somehow we just knew that in 2023, Jesus was coming back for His church? You knew that. No ifs, ands, buts, or bats. What would you do with 2023? Continue to do the same thing that you're doing now if it's not like really serving the Lord? Continue to just go about living life and doing what you're going to do? So I kind of thought, oh yeah, He'll come back someday or whatever, but I got some time left. Maybe I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do all these things that are physical things. Things feeding the flesh, whatever like that. Nothing to do to serve the Lord. If you knew the Lord was coming back this year, this coming year, would it change what you're doing spiritually? Would you seek to get enabled to do some ministry before He comes back? Would you take heed to what He wants you to do to fulfill that ministry before He came back? Would you, again, like Paul tells Timothy, man, to do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. Would you do that? Would you submit yourself to those who are focused on ministry? Would you do that? When you think about it, I'm going to leave you with this. There is, and I try as a pastor, I try to not over-inundate you with things to do. I've been there. The same church I was talking about that, you know, we morning service, evening service, and I mean, it was a great time. Man, I learned a lot. But there's a point in time, it's like, you know what? I'm doing so much here that I'm not really focused on my family like I need to be. I had to learn to just say no to some things. I didn't need to be involved in everything. Alright? And so I try to have a balance where, yeah, I want to try to stretch you, to grow you, give you things that I think would help you and benefit you, but I don't want to inundate you with anything as well. But here's what I am asking. There is 168 hours in a week. 168 hours. I am asking, in a sense, 2 hours on a Sunday, our morning service, question and answer Bible study time, and an hour and a half on a Wednesday. 3.5 hours out of 168 to learn how to be addicted to ministry, to grow in your relationship with the Lord, to be equipped to be able to minister to others, because this world desperately needs it. There are people that are addicted to all the wrong things out there. And God wants to use us to get them addicted to Christ, addicted to ministry. And all I'm asking is 3.5 hours and 168. That would be a benefit to you in your walk with the Lord. That if the Lord comes back this year, that you can stand before Him and say, you know what? I may have not done much with my Christianity, but this year, this is what I was able to do, Lord. I was able to get discipled, to get equipped, to be able to minister. I had opportunities at work, and my family, I was able to share your truth with them. You know, that you have something that you can say to the Lord when He comes back and stand before Him and say, hey, I have this. Lord, I have this. You say, well done. Well done. Hey, you know what? Because you decided to do that, guess what? You're going to be able to rule and reign with me throughout all of eternity. What I'm saying, Christian, it doesn't matter what you did or didn't do in years past as a believer. I'm not looking at 2023 and going into that, you know what? I preached every week. You know, I've done this, that, and the other. So I'm good. I'm just going to take it easy for 2023. No! What does the Lord want me to accomplish in 2023? I want to be able to come, if He does come back in 6 months or 12 months, whatever it is, that I can stand before Him and just say, hey, this is what I did for you this year. It may be things in years past, whatever, but it's like, Lord, this year when you were coming, you know what, Lord? I was reading your word, man. Thank you. Thank you for what you showed me and reminded me of. I was in the book of Deuteronomy today. Lord, I had an opportunity to be able to say, hey, I'm praying for a co-worker. I was able to share some truth with them. Lord, that's what I was able to do. And thank you for giving me that opportunity. Thank you for using me to do that. That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm praying. That's what I'm hoping. That you have a willing heart so that you will be addicted to ministry in 2023. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for your word. Really, the simplicity of it all and what we're seeing here. And Lord, I simply pray that you would give us a willing heart. Much like we saw in the book of Exodus when the call went out to bring the materials to be able to build a tabernacle, that there was those who were willing to do that. Their heart was stirred to do that. Lord, I pray that that would be the same for us in dealing with ministry. As we go into 2023, Lord, I pray you help us. If we've never been addicted to ministry, that be the case. Help us to be enabled. Help us to take heed. Help us to make full proof. And Lord, help us to have that, willing to submit ourselves to others around us that have that same focus and drive of ministry. So we can help encourage one another and to be strengthened, to be able to do those things, to be able to reach out to others. Lord, I don't know what all you have in store for us in 2023. The people that we're going to run across, the issues, the circumstances, whatever. But Lord, I pray that you help us to be ready and that we'd be looking for those open doors and those opportunities for you to work through us. Just like you enabled Paul, just like you counted him faithful, just like you put him in the ministry, Lord, I pray that'd be the case for Faith Bible Church. Ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.